this is Derek Frost from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading to you from the Triangle Business Journal. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. And we start on the front page of the Triangle Business Journal with the cover story headline, M&A, buoyed by large pharma deals, the Triangle explodes with notable mergers and acquisitions. And that's the headline on the front page, but the actual article begins inside with a second headline. Billion-dollar deals cloak merger season, buoyed by two blockbuster deals by Valiant Pharma to buy two local drug makers. The M&A pipeline was red hot in the Triangle, with more to come in 2016. And this article is written by Cameron Snipes. All the talk about 2015 being a record deal-making year across the globe played true in the Triangle as well. The 25 largest deals in 2015, deals that involved at least one Triangle-based company, came in at a whopping $21.5 billion, more than doubling the total value in 2014. In terms of total deal value, the only year that surpassed 2015 in the 16-year period that Triangle Business Journal has been tracking the top local M&A deals was 2000, when SmithKline-Beecham and GlaxoWelcome combined to form GlaxoSmithKline in a $74 billion merger. As for the state of North Carolina as a whole, the cumulative deal value was $91.8 billion on 229 deals, nearly seven times larger than 2014, when there were six more deals recorded, according to industry tracker DealLogic. The year 2015 also proved to be a record year for global M&A, with several regional records being broken, such as the U.S. and Asia posting their highest values and some of the largest deal announcements, according to a report by Merger Market. The steadily improving U.S. economy is and has been a boon to corporate confidence levels, and that confidence is vital in the minds of executives that are deciding whether or not to pull the trigger on mergers or acquisitions. Competition also fuels deal fever. In the latest M&A Outlook survey by accounting firm KPMG, 58% of U.S. executives responded that the most important aspect of explaining the current strong appetite for M&A can be attributed to fortifying a competitive position in the current market. Merger Market data reveal that the total value of M&A reached a record level in late November 2015 after the announcement of the world's third largest M&A transaction in history, Pfizer's $183.7 billion purchase of Allergan, which boosted total M&A values to $4.28 trillion in 2015, 16.6% higher than the previous 2007 peak, and about 30% above 2014. Inside the local deals. Before its acquisition, Allergan nearly had its hands on Raleigh's Salix Pharmaceuticals, but Salix was ultimately snapped up by Valiant Pharmaceuticals for $11 billion, making it the largest deal in the Triangle in 2015. Pre- and post-acquisition rumblings of the deal began in 2014 and are still fresh in the memories of Triangle business people today. Talks with at least two other drug makers, Allergan and Actavis included, fell apart after Salix disclosed problems with how it had been reporting revenue. After adjusting for inventory levels, Valiant began its pursuit and outbid Endo International with its offer of $173 per share in cash. Allergan's offer could have been as high as $205 per share, according to disclosures made after the Valiant acquisition closed. That deal, which closed in April, capped a year that saw $5 billion deals that involved at least one Triangle-based company and for which a deal was found, a record tracing all the way back to when TBJ began tracking the area's largest M&A deals. Some of the more interesting findings from this year's data are: the Valiant Salix deal value was $8.3 billion higher than the next largest deal in the Triangle in 2015 and is one of the largest deals in the area's history. Salix was not the only Triangle company Valiant purchased in 2015. The Canadian company also acquired Raleigh's Sprout Pharmaceuticals late in the year for a cool $1 billion. Of the largest 25 deals in the Triangle in 2015, Only three triangle-based companies were the acquirers in their deals, down from seven the year before. And the 25th largest deal, the Symmetry Surgical Incorporated acquisition of Vess Occlude Medical LLC for $6 million, was about $1.3 million higher than last year's number 25 deal. The Triangle M&A Landscape. Gerald Roach, M&A attorney and managing partner at Smith Anderson, hedges that even though the Triangle lost status as the headquarters of several of those companies in recent deals, there is a silver lining. Triangle sellers often are targets because of technology or innovation, he says. As long as we see investments being made in the Triangle, M&A will follow. While the actual number of deals was slightly higher in 2014 than last year, the cumulative value of those deals was higher in 2015. That total value is due to the number of billion-dollar deals, the most active billion-dollar deal-making landscape in the Triangle in at least the past 15 years. Valuations have been at or near peak, driven by the need for growth, strategic buyers, a record amount of private equity to invest, and the need by baby boomers for an exit or a transition, says Kenneth Marks, managing partner of Raleigh-based M&A advisory firm HighRock Partners. Depending on the industry you talk about, there is some concern regarding a broad economic pullback and that the window for a sale at today's frothy values is limited. The Triangle has very attractive demographics for acquisitions, given our growth rates and demographics, he says. An eye toward the future. Already, there have been a few blockbuster deals announced or closed in 2016. These include Southern Company's acquisition of Wake Forest Power Secure International for $431 million, and Raleigh-based Yadkin Bank's buy of Newbridge Bank for $456 million. This year has also already seen the announcement of another billion-dollar deal involving a Triangle company. Cary-based Biologics, along with Manhattan Beach, California-based Vantage Oncology, is being acquired by McKesson Corporation for a combined $1.2 billion. Triangle M&A experts don't see the trend slowing in the coming year, but there are subplots to that story. The market appetite for future foreign investment in the Triangle and stock market volatility. I do not know how much we will read about it, but more companies may experience difficulty selling technology to foreign buyers, Roach says. Depending on the buyer's country, CFIUS, Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S., approval can be a real issue. Also, as the stock markets have become volatile, public companies with sustained dramatic declines in price could become under pressure to sell. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to Biz, a quick glance at Triangle happenings, written by managing editor Rebecca Troyer. Barry dazzles Midtown crowd during Revlon launch party. Yes, that was Hollywood star Halle Berry heading into a private event at North Hills in Raleigh. Sources say that executives of cosmetic brand leader Revlon had rented the entire dining room of the Midtown Grill restaurant on March 9 for a special kickoff event for the company's 2016 sales campaign featuring new images and commercials of the Oscar-winning actress. Barry was seen posing for pictures with some of the company's top sales executives in town visiting from across the country, which makes sense since she's one of the longest-serving global ambassadors for Revlon, dating back to her first television commercial spots for the brand in 1996. Revlon operates its largest manufacturing plant in the U.S. at an industrial park in Oxford, about 30 miles north of Raleigh. Rick Hendrick's latest play, a Porsche dealership. Who has the best Porsche collection in the world? That's easy, Bob Ingram. Rick Hendrick celebrated the opening of the Porsche South Point dealership with help of his friend Bob Ingram, the former Glaxo Welcome CEO who, by many accounts, owns a private Porsche collection in Durham that is better than even the Porsche Museum in Stuttgart, Germany. Some of Ingram's collection was on display at the opening, which is the second Porsche dealership in the Hendrick Automotive Group empire that boasts 29 nameplates at more than 100 locations. Father's struggle pushes son to look for answers. Durham salesman turned chef turned city booster Samuel Poley has embarked on a journey that warms Biz's heart, frankly. The 46-year-old Poley, who works at the Durham Convention and Visitors Bureau these days, lost his dad, Neil, last year to cancer, prostate cancer to be more specific. To understand the disease, I started doing some research and came across an article that talked about copper being used to treat the type of cancer my dad had, Poley says. So I brought it up to my dad's doctor, Daniel George of Duke. As things would play out, George actually had authored some papers on the subject. He told Poley that almost everything was in place for clinical trials at Duke Cancer Institute. The only thing missing was money. That was enough for Poley to go to work. He started a fundraising campaign called Give One for Dad that eventually became a crowdfunding effort. He pegged the fundraising goal at $1 million. Through his crowdfunding site, Poley already has raised $61,000, but in recent weeks, his efforts got a big boost when a prominent foundation, the V Foundation for Cancer Research, decided to pour an additional $400,000 in George's clinical trials. On March 9, Poley stated that George has enrolled 30 patients in the trial. I continue because this could change the story for men across the world who suffer, as did my father, Poley says. George says these are exciting times for the project. We're calling this the Poley Protocol in his honor. I have no doubt he would be overjoyed that we are launching this trial, George says. He made an impact with his life, and now we will make an impact in his honor. Big Boss unveils new brews for 2016. Raleigh's Big Boss Brewing Company has been producing craft beers for the Triangle since 2007 and is now ready to unveil some new beers for 2016. On March 8, Biz was invited to Big Boss to sample and learn about what the brewery will offer in the coming weeks. Along with the new tap room that will feature 21 beers on draft, Big Boss will be releasing a new beer called Starduster, a single-hop Polaris Pale Ale. Another beer that should turn heads is the Big Boss Root Beer Stout. Unlike the Not Your Father's Root Beer craze of last year, this small batch release has a sturdy stout base and remains a beer. Also stay on the lookout for the Strange Cargo series. This is a series of barrel and foundry-aged beers, each limited to around 60 cases or less. The latest releases will include the 10th anniversary edition of Monkey Business, a spiced farmhouse aged in red wine barrels and around 9% ABV. The other, named Horsefly, will be a wheat ale with Brettanomyces aged in wine barrels for more than 300 days. Networking opened funding doors for him. It's been reported many times about the dearth of funding for startups in the Triangle, but that didn't stop Ben Sharma, CEO of Durham data software firm Zaloni, from recently raising $7.5 million. The round, led by Sierra Ventures, had support from Baird Capital, and Sharma made the connection to Baird Capital right here in Raleigh. It was at the CEO Tech Venture Conference, he says, pointing to the annual event put on by the Council for Entrepreneurial Development at the Raleigh Convention Center each year. And now we turn to the On Real Estate page, written by Amanda Hoyle. The main headline, Durham Units Part of $400 Million Plan. Woodfield Investments has given the green light for construction of the first phase for the Big Durham Gateway Center mixed-use project on the old Durham Auto Mall dealership site in downtown Durham. Woodfield has been approved to build a 305-unit low-rise apartment community called Gateway, near where Pettigrew Street intersects with Roxborough Road and the Durham Freeway, a key gateway entrance into downtown Durham. The trio of apartment buildings is part of an ambitious $400 million mixed-use development project proposed last year by the new property owner, CitySculpt of Charlotte. CitySculpt bought the 12.1-acre former car dealership property from Hendrick Automotive for $5 million, demolished the building, and sold a portion of the land to Woodfield for $6.1 million in July. The location is irreplaceable as it is truly the gateway into downtown Durham, says Scott Underwood, a developer with Woodfield. Durham is experiencing a renaissance with active institutional investment from our site to Main Street to 9th Street. A big driver of this movement is the ongoing investment by Duke University and Capital Broadcasting at the American Tobacco Campus, which has been invaluable, he says. Brown Saunders Rooks take home TCAR Awards. The Triangle Commercial Association of Realtors on March 1 recognized more than 70 of the Triangle's top producers in the commercial real estate industry at the group's annual Frontier Awards event at the Carolina Country Club in Raleigh. Among the top winners were Ed Brown of NAI Carol Atlantic Realty, named 2015 Realtor of the Year; Carrie Saunders of NAI Carol Atlantic Realty, winner of the 2015 President's Circle Award; Charter Square, winner of Development of the Year; Ron Dixon of Excelligent, winner of the William P. Eyerman Award; Liz Rooks of Research Triangle Foundation, winner of the Community Foundation Award; John Michaels of Lincoln Harris, winner of the Rising Star Award; and Ben Steele of Empire Properties, winner of the Busy Broker Award. And in a section called In the News, Microsoft moving district office to Perimeter Park. Technology giant Microsoft has signed an 11-year lease contract at Perimeter Park to relocate its longtime Durham district office from an office park on Creekstone Drive to a brand new space on the second floor of the new Perimeter 4 office building. Microsoft is targeting its move into the new space at Perimeter Park in Mooresville around November, taking a total of 39,257 square feet in the building. With the deal, Perimeter 4 reaches 98% occupancy. New name, new brand unveiled for Mulkey Engineers. Mulkey Engineers and Consultants of Cary, one of the biggest women-owned civil engineering firms in the state, has changed its name to Calix Engineers and Consultants. The firm's partners decided to rebrand the company following the retirement of the firm's founder and namesake, Barbara Mulkey, in 2015. And in a section called Retail and Restaurants, Raleigh restaurateur planning food hall in Warehouse District. Niall Hanley, owner of the Hibernian Irish Pub and Restaurant, Solis Nightclub, and Raleigh Beer Garden, had set his sights next on transforming the former Jillian's Entertainment and Restaurant building in Raleigh's Warehouse District into a food hall for artisan food vendors. Hanley says he hopes to attract artisan food vendors and merchants for the 21,000-square-foot space and has set a target opening for the food hall project in spring 2017. New shops opening at Holly Springs Town Center. The first three retailers for the second phase of the Holly Springs Town Center complex on NC 55 in Holly Springs are open for business. The newest shops open include Bed Bath & Beyond, DSW Shoe Warehouse, and Sleepy's. Construction is also underway for the 9-screen Carmike Cinemas movie theater that will also have a dine-in restaurant. Nuke's Eatery opens first Triangle location. Nuke's Eatery, the Mississippi-based fast casual chain that announced last year it would be entering the Triangle market, opened its new Cary restaurant on March 7. The restaurant is located in the site formerly occupied by Hibernian Irish Pub and Restaurant at 1144 Kildare Farm Road. Boston real estate firm expands with first retail acquisition in Chapel Hill. Houston-based Weingarten Realty Investors has sold the Lowe's food-anchored Chatham Crossing Shopping Center in Chapel Hill to a Boston real estate investment firm that plans to use the acquisition as a launch pad into the Mid-Atlantic and Southeast. An affiliate of Unison Realty Partners of Boston has paid $12.5 million for the 96,155-square-foot shopping center on U.S. 15501 south of Chapel Hill. Kareem Fadel, founder and principal of Unison Realty, says they are planning renovations to the property's facade as well as helping Lowe's Foods make improvements to its anchor store. And now we turn to the On Healthcare page written by Jason DeBruin. The main headline, Time to Regroup. Liquidia CEO rolls back spin-out firm into the mothership. Less than 2 years after spinning out a company to focus on oral health treatments, Durham-based Liquidia Technologies has folded LQ3 Pharmaceuticals back into the parent company and will reassess the viability of developing those assets. When Liquidia spun out LQ3 in late 2014, investment group Kane & Partners fully funded the venture with a $10 million round. However, Kane & General Partner Stephen Block and Liquidia CEO Neil Fowler say they underestimated how much it would cost to develop the LQ3 assets and therefore scrapped the company and brought the assets and employees back to Liquidia. Kane has also invested in Liquidia and its other spin-out, Invisia Therapeutics. The companies did not disclose how much of the $10 million investment in LQ3 has been spent, or what would happen with leftover money, if any exists. Those who know Fowler know that he nearly constantly wears a smile and is quick with a firm handshake, rarely forgetting the name of anyone he meets. When asked about the LQ3 decision at the CED Life Science Conference on March 2, he stayed positive about the decision. The spin-out and creation of LQ3 was undoubtedly the right move at the time, and during its run, it made significant progress in overcoming many of the challenges often faced with the effective delivery of oral health medicines, he later wrote in an email. By folding LQ3 back into Liquidia, it strengthens our business model further through the expansion of the company's library of potential product candidates and brings in-house an outstanding team of scientists who can now also apply their expertise across an entire platform of product development programs. Sitting with Block, Fowler said Liquidia would assess where to rank the assets that came back from LQ3. Kyle Chenet, former vice president of corporate development for Liquidia and Invisia, became LQ3's chief executive at its launch. Fowler did not disclose where LQ3 employees would slot in with Liquidia, but said there had not been layoffs. And beneath this article, there's a small section called Quotables, the quote. Big Pharma needs biotech. And of course, biotech is always going to need Big Pharma. That is from Jeff Abbey, president and CEO of Durham-based Argos Therapeutics, talking about new relationships between big pharmaceutical companies and upstart biotechnology companies. Durham's Hatteras picked to manage UNC's new fund. After looking all over the country for a management firm, the new UNC Chapel Hill investment fund that targets fledgling companies or technology in the university wound up right in its own backyard. The $10 million fund, dubbed Carolina Research Ventures, has chosen Durham-based Hatteras Venture Partners. Hatteras will vet upstart companies and make funding decisions with UNC's money. Led by Chairwoman Sally Shuping Russell, Carolina Research Ventures was established as a way for UNC to invest back in its own talent. UNC brought in $990 million of research funding last year, a healthy jump from the roughly $800 million in the half decade prior, and some of that research could eventually become the next big thing. To find a fund manager, Carolina Research Ventures initially contacted 60 venture groups that it whittled to 5 to interview. Shuping Russell says Hatteras was always in the running, though did not receive any favoritism because of their geographic location. In all candor, Shuping Russell, a managing director at global investment firm BlackRock, says she did not expect to choose Hatteras, but they rose to the top. And finally, in a section called By the Numbers, $60 million total that Durham drug developer Argos Therapeutics Incorporated could raise, which company officials say would be enough cash to fund operations into the second quarter of 2017, when it expects to have final data from a late-stage clinical trial testing its lead drug in a type of cancer patient. $25 million. What Chapel Hill drug developer Sempra Incorporated will draw down from the Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority to further test its experimental pneumonia treatment. And 7 out of 8. mice infected with Zika virus that survived past 28 days when treated with an experimental drug developed by Durham-based BioCryst Pharmaceuticals. None of the 32 other mice in control arms in the study survived to day 28 of the study. And now we turn to the On Technology page, written by Lauren Onasorge. The main headline: Startup bags Sprouts Whitehead as an advisor. Faith is taking a sip when you know one of two cups on the table is drugged. Tyler Confrey Maloney, co-founder of date rape drug detecting startup Undercover Colors, claims he didn't know which drink was safe prior to a recent board demonstration. But what he did know was that a prototype of the nail polish his team is developing could accurately make that determination, at least in a lab. "I put my life on the line," he jokes. And according to Confrey Maloney, the lab findings held true at that board meeting, as his sip was from the safe cup. The demonstration is just the latest exciting milestone for the team, whose story went viral 2 years ago, attracting big names such as Shark Tank investor Mark Cuban to the company. Confrey Maloney says he has spoken with Cuban since Cuban expressed interest. Confrey Maloney is still sparse on specifics. He won't say how the product works exactly. He won't say what the color change is like when the polish hits a laced drink. And he won't say when parents of college-age women can expect the polish to hit the market. But he scored another high-profile backer. Cindy Whitehead, former CEO of female sexual health company Sprout, which sold last year to Valeant Pharmaceuticals in a $1 billion deal, is now an official advisor. Whitehead reached out when she heard about Undercover Colors more than a year ago. "She's been a great mentor and really helpful in thinking about how we bring this to market," Confrey Maloney says, adding that her experience in bringing the pink pill, Addii, to the global stage could be of particular value. While securities filings show the company has raised about $500,000, including $190,000 in a round last March, the real total is much higher, as the firm has solicited donations on its website. In a section called Venture Capital, Confessions of a Venture Capitalist. How do you get a Silicon Valley venture capitalist on a plane and writing checks in the triangle? It's not by cold calling, says Mark Fernandez, managing director of Silicon Valley venture capital firm Sierra Ventures. Sierra Ventures' lengthy portfolio includes the likes of Teradata, SourceFire, Intuit, and now Durham-based analytics management firm Zaloni. The company, which has invested more than $1.5 billion in startups over the decades, was the lead investor in Zaloni's record $7.5 million funder. And it's not Sierra Ventures' first foray to the triangle. Fernandez points out that the company also has a stake in Raleigh-based, senior-focused Internet of Things startup K4 Connect. K4's founder, Scott Moody, had a prior company, Authentech, a Sierra Ventures investment that had worked out well for the firm. Authentech sold to Apple, bringing with it the Touch ID technology that would become a security mainstay in iPhones. So Sierra didn't hesitate to invest when Moody announced his next project. The triangle has not been a hot spot for the Silicon Valley shop, but that could change, Fernandez says. "We don't mind where a company is based," he says. "We want to find the best entrepreneurs and the best companies wherever they are." Watson leaves NYC to fuel Durham startup Envested. At J.P. Morgan, Isa Watson had a six-figure salary and a bright future on Wall Street. As vice president of strategy and business development, it was her job to open up revenue opportunities and connect with millennials, and she relished it, she says. But it all changed when a crash ejected her parents onto a highway. Her father was killed. Her mother was critically injured. Watson packed up her life and left the fast-paced Wall Street world of New York, returning to her Chapel Hill roots to found Envested. Working out of American Underground in Durham, she's raised $300,000 from family and friends and is officially ready to launch her product, one that she hopes makes a difference in the triangle. Nationally focused startups have their own funnels, she explains. Local nonprofits, think Meals on Wheels of Durham County, have a harder time grabbing attention. And that's the point of Envested, spelled E-N-V-E-S-T-E-D. It's a social media platform where you can see what your friends are investing in, and you can respond to specific challenges from organizations. Say a Meals on Wheels plea for $500 for organic fruits and vegetables. You'll see who's invested and can import contacts from your phone, but you won't see how much. We didn't necessarily want it to be pretentious, Watson says. The goal is to help local nonprofits, 60 are already signed onto the platform, engage with millennials, which Watson sees as a struggle for many industries. For now, it only benefits Triangle Charities, but she plans to expand to other areas such as Atlanta and Boston. The app is expected to be released this week. While her team verifies the nonprofit status of organizations listed on the platform, she clarifies it's an enablement technology and that they're not evaluating an organization's balance sheet. Envested is soliciting corporate sponsorships to support the company. And finally, in a section called They Said It, the quote, "We heard this common refrain. I think this is really cool, but I'd love to have my child wear this when they're doing their homework to see when they're paying attention." And that's from Jake Stouch, CEO of Neuro Plus, a 1776 Cup Challenge finalist. The startup develops a device that can read brain waves. It was originally intended for the marketing industry, but now it is worn to help kids with ADHD focus. Through a game where a dragon flies faster when a child is paying attention. And the next quote, "A couple hundred years ago, most people would not have had the leisure time to write long letters or memoirs and leave records of a written nature. The stuff they worked with, the material they carried that they thought was important, by examining that inside the confines of a ship's hull, it's like a time capsule." And that's from Billy Ray Morris, deputy state archaeologist for North Carolina, on what drives him to keep discovering. His team recently used sonar scanning and magnetic field detection devices to discover what is likely a Civil War era blockade runner off of Oak Island. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to A Better World, written by Todd Cohen, and we start with Todd Cohen's column. Todd Cohen is also the publisher of Philanthropy North Carolina. The headline on the column, "Boys and Girls Clubs Boost Kids." Every weekday after school, 5 refurbished school buses and an activity bus stop at 11 Wake County Public Schools pick up 500 students aged 6 to 18 and drive them to 7 facilities of the Boys and Girls Clubs in Wake County. Once they arrive and get settled, the children and teens spend 45 minutes to an hour or more doing homework under the eye of part-time staff and volunteers. Then they visit art rooms, computer labs, game rooms, and gyms, and take part in programs to build citizenship and leadership and foster healthy lifestyles through physical activity, good nutrition, and lessons in steering clear of drugs and alcohol. Kids at the Raleigh Boulevard campus get after-school meals. The kids also take part in public service projects to get hands-on practice in citizenship and leadership. In partnership with Trees Across Raleigh, for example, club members have planted more than 1,000 trees in public parks and along streets. "All our clubs have the expectation that kids will give back," says Ralph Capps, president and CEO of the Wake Clubs. 2/3 of club members, who pay $7.50 per year for a membership, are eligible for free or reduced-cost meals at school. Nearly 70% are African American, and 15% are Hispanic. "One of the founding principles of Boys and Girls Clubs is you serve those young people who need us most," Cap says. If needed, members can pay their $7.50 dues in installments, or, if they cannot afford the dues, do volunteer work at the clubs. The Wake Clubs, with nearly 5,000 members, operate with an annual budget of $3.2 million, 26 full-time employees, including 3 former club members, and 75 to 80 part-time employees, including several former club members. About 450 volunteers help provide programs. The clubs generate income through an annual campaign that this year aims to raise $925,000, plus foundation grants and program sponsorships totaling another $925,000, and two special events, including a fall breakfast featuring a local sports celebrity, and a spring art auction for young professionals. It recently completed a capital campaign that raised $12 million to help serve another 2,000 young people, which already has enrolled half of them and likely will add an eighth facility. As part of its 50th anniversary celebration, in addition to the annual campaign it launched in February, the club hopes to raise $1 million for new initiatives. One is likely to be a new nutrition hub at the Teen Center on its Raleigh Boulevard campus that could include features such as gardens to generate revenue or serve the community, a culinary arts program for teens, and nutrition education for parents. Capps estimates the Wake clubs have had 25,000 members during his tenure. "There are many, many kids whose lives we've changed," he says, "and some whose lives we've saved." And in nonprofit news, Institute in RTP raises $93,000 for charity. Employees from the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences, NIEHS, in Research Triangle Park united to raise more than $93,000 for charity as part of the 2015 combined federal campaign. Many donations went to local organizations supporting animals, veterans, and the homeless, among others. NIEHS is one of 27 institutes and centers within the National Institutes of Health, a group that collectively raised more than $2.3 million for 24,000 charities worldwide. Wanted: nominees for Impact Awards. GlaxoSmithKline and Triangle Community Foundation issued the call for applications for the 2016 GSK Impact Awards. This annual awards program will honor up to 10 local nonprofit organizations with $40,000 each in recognition of their exceptional achievements in contributing to a healthier Triangle region. Eligible organizations include small and mid-sized nonprofits with existing programs that have demonstrated results in and around the Triangle. Marriott donates used furnishings. After kicking off a major renovation in April 2015, Raleigh Marriott Crabtree Valley partnered with local nonprofit, the Green Chair Project, to donate used furnishings to those recovering from homelessness, crisis, and disaster. The Green Chair Project has served more than 1,000 households and 2,700 individuals in Wake County since 2010. For a small fee, families working with case managers from partnering agencies can select furniture, linens, cookware, and accessories to outfit their new homes. Foundation awards $1.8 million in North Carolina grants. The Pope Foundation awarded $1.8 million to North Carolina nonprofits in its winter grant cycle. More than $1 million went to humanitarian organizations that meet hunger, housing, and health needs, primarily in the Triangle region. And we have a couple of general news stories. The first one, Durham's Net Power readies Texas plant. This is written by Lauren Onasorge. In La Porte, Texas, a group of Durham entrepreneurs say they're breaking ground on something that could really change the world, a first-of-its-kind power plant intended to validate a new natural gas power system. If all goes as planned, Durham-based Net Power, a collaboration between Durham Investor Group, Eight Rivers Capital, Exelon Corporation, and CB&I, will have created a system that produces low-cost electricity with zero atmospheric emissions, and that means no carbon dioxide. For those involved, the stakes are high. The Eight Rivers team, co-founded by former neighbors Bill Brown and Miles Palmer, said last year that the idea has to bank at least $1 billion in the next 5 to 10 years in order to keep going. The personal stakes at play, too, are huge. Technologist Palmer left a steady job at defense contractor SAIC and cashed in his retirement funds to start Net Power in 2007. While his cohorts say many thought his ideas were impossible 9 years ago, the world is coming around, they say. Companies are banking $140 million on the technology he's helped develop, with Toshiba coming on board to provide the turbines for the project, and the power station is the big test case. The station has no smokestacks, but instead a CO2 power cycle system that he said last year wasn't trying to fix the currently coal system, but change it completely. Carbon dioxide is used as a working fluid to drive a combustion turbine, eliminating emissions without requiring expensive carbon capture equipment that has become the standard. The pipeline quality CO2 being created can be used in several industrial processes, including enhanced oil recovery. Minimal action in Triangle real estate sales in February. National and international commercial real estate investors made only 4 major property trades in the Triangle region during the month of February, but 3 of those deals made headlines in their own right. There was the $187 million sale of West Village, a prominent mixed-use apartment property in downtown Durham, and the $174 million bailout of Triangle Town Center in Raleigh. In Fuquay Varina, a Canadian investor group paid $41.5 million for Marquee Station, a 3-year-old apartment community. All total, the Triangle region notched $417.7 million worth of commercial property transactions, according to a review of deed records in Wake, Durham, and Orange counties. Only property trades of $7 million or more were counted. It's the second year in a row that a small flutter of deals in February made such a huge impact on the region. In February 2015, there were also only 4 deals counted among Triangle Business Journal's survey of major transactions, but that short list included one of the most profitable office property sales on record in the region, the $127 million sale by Rubenstein Partners and Grubb Properties of the Lenovo Enterprise Office Campus in Research Triangle Park to a London-based real estate investment trust. And that article was written by Amanda Hoyle. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we return to the executive voice column, which focuses on Laura Schopp. The headline, Bilingual Engineer Turned Entrepreneur, How Funtech's Founder Built a Business from Technology Transfer Know-How. And this article is written by Jason DeBruin. Laura Schopp was born in Princeton, New Jersey, where her father attended graduate school, but her story actually starts years earlier. In the 1940s, her father's family fled Spain during the Franco dictatorship, and then later her family emigrated from Argentina to the United States because of political persecution during the Perón dictatorship in the 1960s. She is the only American born out of her family, and her parents made her speak Spanish in the house because they didn't want her and her siblings to lose their heritage. I hated this, Schopp says now, but now I can't thank my parents enough. I know it was tough on them, but I am so thankful to be bilingual. Schopp's parents were both chemical engineers, so she was exposed to STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math education from an early age. She set her sights on Carnegie Mellon University, but her guidance counselor tried to dissuade her from taking prerequisite math and science classes and suggested instead that she take up home economics and typing and apply to local colleges. I'm glad I didn't listen to him, Schopp says. A few years later, she earned a bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering and engineering public policy from CMU, one of the prouder days of her life. At that point, like many 20-somethings, she didn't know what career path she wanted to take, so she applied to graduate school, thinking she might specialize in aerospace engineering. She was accepted to Princeton, following in her father's footsteps. She first set her sights on a space career and even studied with a future NASA astronaut, but eventually took a different path. Schopp's first jobs were in military defense for a small contractor and then General Electric. She climbed the ladder fast but decided to move on to do something, quote, more positive and not associated with weapons, unquote. Along the way, she married and then moved to Raleigh with her husband and started doing technology transfer for NASA at a company in Raleigh. I was fulfilling my dream to work for NASA, but in a different way, including getting to work with several astronauts on their innovations, she says. Schopp earned an MBA from UNC Chapel Hill Kenan Flagler School of Business with a focus in technology marketing to bridge her background in STEM with business. This gave her what she needed to start her own company, and she founded FuneTech in 2001. Several clients came with her, including NASA. Apex-based FuneTech works with companies, universities, and other organizations to build technology transfer offices, manage intellectual property portfolios, establish technology licenses, and more. She was tapped by Governor Pat McCrory to serve on the Innovation to Jobs initiative with a group that includes Clay Thorpe, Terry Lomax, Chris Brown, and Eric Toon. She also served on the White House Lab to Market Task Force, which had similar goals to Innovation to Jobs, or I2J, but for government research instead of university research. Thanks to her bilingual skills, Schopp is able to have an international presence. She once tweeted from the FuneTech account in Spanish and was asked by a Spanish consultant to speak at Spain's equivalent to the Council for Entrepreneurial Development in Madrid. Another passion is inspiring young people, especially girls, in pursuing STEM careers. She serves on the board for First North Carolina and is a judge at various competitions throughout the year. I'm impressed every time I see what these kids have done with robots, Schopp says. They also appreciate and learn from all the professionals that volunteer, sharing their background and giving them ideas of what careers they can aspire to. It's very energizing for me. And along with this article, there's a box called A Closer Look. Name, Laura Schopp. Position, founder and president. Age, 53. First job, babysitting. Secret talent, constructs awesome Lego free builds. One thing the Triangle area needs to improve on. Collaboration and communication between the different entrepreneurship programs. And now we turn to the Viewpoint page. First, we'll start with the Editor's Notebook, written by Sugata Mukherjee, who is the editor of Triangle Business Journal. The headline, M&A Numbers Prove Market is Maturing. Our cover story this week on the red-hot mergers and acquisitions activity in 2015 offers us several clues relating to innovation growth and the state of the Triangle's private and public companies. The thing that stands out is that pharma companies in the Triangle are still in the best spot in terms of return on investment for investors. Among the top M&A deals since 2001, an overwhelming majority of them were in the healthcare and life sciences arenas. Companies such as GlaxoSmithKline, Charles River Labs, Inc. Research, Stifel Labs, Talcris Biotherapeutics, and Salix Pharmaceuticals were all involved in buying and selling in the past 15 years. And the deals were big, the biggest deals of the year in most cases. So it's no wonder that we have seen more and more money pour into the pharma life sciences space in the Triangle in the past couple of years. But as far as tech concerns go, the news is not all that rosy. Looking at the M&A lists of largest deals over the past few years, the exit strategy for tech concerns in the Triangle really is in the public markets, when the initial public offering market is hot. We have these companies that have $50 million to $100 million in sales go out and cash in some of the stake to recapitalize the company and pay off their original backers. But beyond that, the news is far from good. While many of these technology companies have sold, bringing in sizable windfalls for its founders and management staff, in several cases, the acquirer has had trouble integrating the operations into its larger infrastructure. When that happens, news travels fast, especially to venture capitalists who always have an eye toward exits when it comes to investing. There are always exceptions, however. Bronto and ShareFile buyouts come to mind in recent years. Both NetSuite and Citrix in their earnings calls have talked specifically about their Triangle outposts and how the units are padding earnings and opening up new doors to their products and services. It is clear that the total deal values of Triangle M&As have increased exponentially in the past decade. In 2001, the deals with values of more than $10 million in the Triangle had a collective tab of $3.5 billion. By 2013, cumulative value of the Triangle's largest deals had gone up to $7.7 billion. In 2014, it was $8.4 billion. And last year, thanks primarily to Valeant Pharmaceuticals' $2 billion deal plus deals with local companies, total deal value of the largest M&As was in excess of $20 billion. That means mature Triangle companies are playing in a bigger space with a sizable ROI in sight. And that is great news for local startups, entrepreneurs, and investors looking to invest. And now we'll read from the Viewpoint page the guest column. This is written by Algie Gatewood, who is president of Alamance Community College. The headline, Why I Am Voting for the Bond Package. The cornerstone of North Carolina's economic development is top-quality higher education, STEM-related initiatives, and research, and of course, job skills training. This is why this year's NC Connect, Invest in Our Future Bond Act is important to business and industry across North Carolina. This $2 billion bond referendum is directly tied to improved economic development and enhanced quality of life. This $2 billion bond referendum has bipartisan support and will bring no new taxes. This $2 billion bond package will bring much-needed help to our university system, to North Carolina's community college system, to water and sewer infrastructure across our counties and cities, to our state parks and the North Carolina Zoo, to agri-science research at NCSU, and to our National Guard that responds in time of crisis or disaster. Through long-term financing and by leveraging the state's very favorable bond rating, North Carolina has an opportunity to strategically invest in public infrastructure and capital improvements. It's been 16 years since voters approved a similar bond measure. After years of deferred maintenance during the recession, North Carolina has suffered erosion to its public facilities. During this same time period, more than 2 million more people have settled in North Carolina, the equivalent of the entire state of New Mexico taking up residence. This bond referendum, to appear on North Carolina's March 15 primary ballot, is critically important to our economic vitality and quality of life. I urge voters to invest in our future and support this bond. Here's where the investment will go. $980 million to the UNC system, primarily to enhance and expand science, technology, engineering, math, STEM facilities. STEM is where the 21st century jobs are. $350 million to the North Carolina Community College system for overdue repairs and rebuilds across the state's 58 community colleges. Alamance Community College would receive $6.1 million. Our community colleges are critical to workforce development and job skills training. $309.5 million to water and sewer loans and grants to ensure public safety. $100 million to state parks and the North Carolina Zoo. $70 million to build National Guard regional readiness centers. Nearly $180 million to NCSU to expand and enhance agri-science research. Agriculture is North Carolina's largest industry. Why are infrastructure repair, capital expansion, and facility renovations important? Why are these relevant to your life? Higher education attainment is directly linked to higher salaries and a higher quality of life. A post-secondary education not only lifts the individual, it lifts the entire community. Our community colleges offer a second chance and reinvention. And when business and industry considers relocating to parts of North Carolina, it looks at the quality of workforce development at the nearest community colleges. Our state parks and zoo drive tourism revenue for the state. Agri-science research is critical to bolstering the foundation of North Carolina's economy. We must keep growing with agriculture. Clean water and state-of-the-art sewer ensures the safety of everyone and makes North Carolina attractive visitors and new residents alike. And when a state of emergency arises, the National Guard is there to pick us up. We need them in an enhanced state of readiness. Every aspect of this Bond Act touches our lives. It means no new taxes, and it has support from both sides of the political aisle. It is a shot in the arm for North Carolina's economic development, job skills training, and tourism initiatives. And with our remaining minutes, we'll read as much as we can of the spotlight from the People on the Move section, which is on Mary Heath, Director of Marketing at McAdams Company. Greensboro native Mary Heath has had her triangle shoes on for nearly 15 years, at least professionally, all of which have been focused on marketing and communications efforts. And now she's flipped another page in that story and been named Director of Marketing at Durham engineering and design firm McAdams. In her new role, Heath works with the firm's leadership team to develop initiatives and strategies to refine its branding, marketing, and community involvement firm-wide. McAdams currently employs 142 people, 120 of whom are located in the Triangle. The firm also has a location in Charlotte. What's one thing you wish people knew about your job? Although I made lead marketing for the firm, it takes our entire team to accomplish our goals. No one person can take all the glory for a successful marketing or business development strategy. It takes a tremendous amount of support and work from many throughout the organization. I believe in the power of teamwork and empowerment. What are some of your major goals for your new position? I am ready and equipped to assist in growing our emerging markets that have already seen much success. The caliber of work and sophistication of clients that McAdams serves is impressive. Refining and telling this story to those who may not be aware of what McAdams has to offer will be paramount. In addition, I plan to find ways for McAdams to continue to be a strong community partner in both the Triangle and Charlotte regions. And we're going to stop there as we've run out of time for today's episode of Triangle Business Journal. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Derek Frost, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. You can reach us at 919-832-5138. So long until next time.